It is always good to be saved, guys. I don't know if you've noticed, there's like distracting things going on in the country. And it's easy to get caught up with it. And, I tell guys, it's just always good to be in church. And it's always good to be saved. You know, this COVID thing shut everybody down for so long. And I said, boy, saying it's good to be in church, that's added some meaning to that statement. Well, listen, this is going to be painful. I am going to be a fundamentalist. Just a little while, because I can only take it so long. I'm going to be a fundamentalist, and then I'm going to give you a test. And I'm going to tell you how to pass it. And you're going to fail it. Which says something for you guys, doesn't it? I want you to go to John chapter 21. And you know what a straw man is? Straw man is where somebody who opposes you makes up your argument and then defeats it, you know? And I'm not going to give you a straw man this morning. What I'm about to teach you, I sat in a congregation like you are and heard a guy say exactly what I am I'm about to tell you. So get rid of this. Look at John chapter 10. Now, guys, I'll tell you, I never use Greek. I had a guy call me a pastor not long ago. He says, what Greek do you use? When I said, I never look at Greek. I said, to me, it's like I call it a second witness. I don't know about you. You probably heard that the ark may be up on Mount Ararat. And I believe that. I believe that's probably it. But if they go up there tomorrow and find it, I am not going to say, oh, now I believe in the flood. I believe in the flood, okay? If they go up on Mount Ararat and find out that's not the ark, it's just an old closed McDonald's, I'm not going to say, oh, I don't believe in the flood. In other words, I don't need it, and I don't need Greek because I've got the perfect word of God on the pulpit here. But I want you to look at a few verses here. Now, I have to start out like a fundamentalist. Beloved. Whenever those guys say that, I put one hand on my wallet and the other around my wife because I know they're after one or the other. Beloved, I want you to look at this verse. So when they had dined, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, let me explain something. When I step over here, it's me. I'll be over here. I'll be the fundamentalist. But, you know, if you bought a bright red Dodge Viper and paid like $70,000 for it. You know where you'd park it? Where everybody could see it. Oh, yeah, I put the Viper over there. You know, I think probably the Maserati I'll park over there. I mean, if you pay $70,000 for something, you want to show it, right? Yep. But what do you do when you put $70,000 of an education in your brain? Well, every now and then you have to say, now, folks, I put that in my Bible, yeah. And so you don't know the Bible like I do, and you poor saps are stuck with the English, but I know the Greek, and so I could get it right. All right, now I'm back to fundamentalists. Beloved, because you're boneheads and don't have in your brain like I do, you don't know the real truth of the verses that I just read. For you see, there is something that only the Greek unlocks. And if you're bound by that, no, I love the King James Bible. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of like a Democrat saying, I love freedom. Yeah. And beloved, because you don't know what I know, here's what you don't know. In verse 15, when he says to Simon Peter, you don't know, but there's actually two words in Greek used for the word love. And the first one is agape, which is a deep, intimate, selfless love, kind of like I have for myself. And the other is phileo, which is a casual, friendly love. And what you guys don't know, because all you have is English, you don't know that when the dear Lord, as they say that a lot, when our dear Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, he said, Simon, do you love me with agape love? Do you love me with a deep, intimate, selfless love? Peter, afraid of that much commitment, said, well, Lord, I love you like a friend. I love you with a casual, friendly love. The Lord, not getting the answer that he wanted. Can you guys see the board? Should have paid for the good tickets. Not getting the answer he wanted, he asked him again, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with a deep, intimate, selfless love? Simon, again, afraid of that much of a commitment, said, well, Lord, I love you with a casual, friendly love. And then our dear Lord, seeing he was never going to get the answer that he wanted, said, okay, then Simon, lovest thou me with a casual, friendly love? And Peter, grieved because the Lord changed from agape to phileo, said, well, yes, Lord, I love you with phileo love. I love you with a casual, friendly love. But beloved, you don't know this great truth because you don't know the Greek like I do, because you're in your brain like I do. Okay, that's all I can take of being a fundamentalist. Let me tell you what is true that I just told you, and then I'll straighten out the rest. What is true is that when the Lord said, lovest thou me, in verse 15, he said agape. When he said, lovest thou me, in verse 16, he said agape. When he said, lovest thou me, in verse 17, he said phileo. And Peter did indeed say phileo all three times. Now, that's what's true. That teaching about agape being a different kind of love than phileo, if you'll take that teaching and you'll put it between two pieces of bread, you will have a bologna sandwich. All right? And I am not going to prove it. I am not going to prove what I just said. You are. Now, I'm going to give you a test. And here's how easy this test will be. You'll still blow it. All right? Somebody tell me what that is. That's a triangle. What is that?
Circle.
Okay. What if I gave you 25 questions and all you got was these symbols and I said, here's what I want you to do. If a triangle, put a T, and if it's a circle, put a C. You think you could get it right? After today, you probably won't be allowed to use sharp things when you eat. All right, I had some young men that were going to pass these out for me. If you guys will come down. Now, when you get this, do not start the test. We'll take it all together. And look, you're going to flunk, okay? In fact, I got to tell you something. The only people that don't flunk this test when I give it are preachers. You say, oh, because they know the Greek. No, they know they're going to flunk, so they don't take the test. I am serious. They won't take the test because they know they're going to flunk. And I'll go, oh, you didn't take the test. They'll go, oh, I wanted a blank one. You know, like their mind. So you don't have to save a blank one. We'll get you another blank one. Because what good is the blank one if you don't have the answers? And by the time it's all over, you will have the answers. Now, I'm going to put another symbol up here. I want somebody to tell me what I am showing you. Stop sign. Exactly. How did you know that? No, really, how'd you know that? Red and eight sides. That is the standard. And it says this. Except up in Canada. And they're after a guy because on every stop sign they say stop arrest day. So they're looking for this guy. But anyway. Guys, that is the universal stop sign. Do you know I was in Romania back in 92? Do you know what the stop signs looked like in Romania? They were eight-sided, they were red, and they said S-T-O-P in English. Which may explain why there's a lot of car wrecks at intersections in Romania. But you see what I'm saying? That, you know what a rule is? A rule is a rule. Right? Let me ask you this. If I take this and let go of it, it's going to do one of three things. Sit in the air where I left it, float to the ceiling, or drop to the floor. Somebody tell me what it's going to do. Why? That's a law. That's a rule. And you're not changing it. So here's what we did. Now, thank you, sir. Well, it's just good to see you come forward finally, buddy. It's really been. These were all collated by somebody with COVID. So you're all in for a big surprise here shortly. anyway, we're going to take this test. Now I got to try to remember what I was going to tell you. This we're going to look at Greek, okay? If a rule is a rule, like this Greek rule, this Greek, so-called Greek rule, agape is deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo is casual, friendly love. If that is an actual law of Greek, then it's not true in this passage. It is true all throughout the Bible, right? Right? Okay. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I talked to a lot of young men to go to seminary somewhere, and they will correct their Bible with the Greek. And you know what they always say? Oh, you know, my Greek professor, he does his personal devotions from the Greek. And I go, I was asking, I know the answer. I go, how'd you know? He told us. In his humility. You know, his favorite hymn is, how great I am, how great I am. And they'll go, but he's a very godly man. How could he be wrong? Okay, so your Greek professor was a godly man. I'm not going to complain about that, but just let me ask you a question. The Apostle John, you think he might have been a little more godly than your Greek professor? How about Peter? You remember the first pope? You think he might be more godly than your Greek professor? How about this guy here, the Apostle Paul? I think those three guys, now listen, I think those guys are more godly than me, than everybody in here, and than your Greek professor. And then there's this man. These men were godly. This one was God. Didn't God invent languages? Then I imagine if anybody knows how to speak English, the best it can be spoken. French, which I don't know why they'd want to speak that. Greek or Hebrew, I would think that Jesus could speak it better than anybody else. So here's what we're going to do. If you look at your test, we're going to look at how Jesus Christ himself and then those three writers of the inspired Bible we have, how they used agape and phileo. Look at the instructions. Read the Bible quote. I will do that for you. Because you don't have to sit in your head like I do, so you probably can't do it. Put an A or P in the blank before the quote to signify your choice of the Greek word used, agape or phileo. Definitions. Agape is a deep, intimate, selfless love. Phileo is a casual, friendly love. Can somebody tell me when we're supposed to be done in here? That wasn't a trick. Oh, pastor went out for a burger. He's not even in here. 10 till? Okay. Definitions. Agape. Agape love. Deep, intimate, selfless love. Phileo, casual, friendly love. All right, the first 10 are how Jesus Christ used the words agape and phileo. Now, let me tell you the rule. The rule is, when I read the quote, we're going on this basis, that the teaching for agape being a deep, intimate, selfless love and phileo's casual, friendly love is true. Therefore, when I read a verse, if it seems like a deep, intimate, selfless love, put agape. If it seems like a casual, friendly love, put phileo. Don't go, I bet it's a trick. I'm going to put all A's. You'll fail. So how do you know? Guys have done that. I bet they're all phileos. No, you'll fail that. It looks like it's agape, so I'll put phileo because he's trying to fool us. No, I don't care. I don't even care if you know what the Greek word is. Really, I don't even care if you know what the Greek word is. I want to know if to you, if it seems like deep, intimate, selfless love, put agape. And if it seems like a casual, friendly love, put phileo. That's the rule, supposedly, about these two words. All right. Part one, how Jesus used agape and phileo. Luke chapter 11, verse 42, the Lord Jesus Christ said, refers to the love of God. All right, so if God loved us, what kind of love would God have for us? Would it be a deep, intimate, selfless love or casual, friendly love? Put an A or a P. Number two, John chapter 5 and verse 42, again, a reference to the love of God. Is that a deep, intimate, selfless love or a casual, friendly love? Put an A or a P. Number three, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me. So what kind of love did they have for their father and mother that they should have had for the Lord Jesus Christ? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, a flail love, casual, friendly love, A or P. I actually had a guy tell me this. He goes, you're giving people a clue in the way you're asking the questions. And I said, you watch too many movies. There's no clue. There's a rule. Agape loves deep, intimate, selfless love. Phileo loves a casual, friendly love. Number four, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9, talking about the last day's churches, to know that I have loved thee. So what kind of love did God have for that local church? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number five, talking about the Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, as many as I love. So what kind of love did the Lord have for the Laodicean church? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? I may as well tell you, though, I'm going to tell you why we're really taking this test. There's one reason why we're taking this test. To find out if agape and phileo. Nope. We're taking this test to find out that if the Lord Jesus Christ were on the earth right now and spoke English, would he say ain't? That's the question we're going to answer. The reason I put that up there is because I tend to forget things. Who are you people? Anyway, I tend to forget things. So when we get done, if I don't come back to what the Lord would say, whether he'd say ain't or not, one of you going to have to remind me of that. That's really the truth. Number six, Matthew chapter 23, verse 6, he's upbraiding the Pharisees, and he said, you love the uppermost rooms. What kind of love did they have for the uppermost rooms? It was agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P. Number seven, John chapter 12 and verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. What kind of love did they have for their life? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P. Number eight, which is actually the parallel verse to number six, Matthew 23:6. Number eight, Luke chapter 11, verse 43, he says to the Pharisees, you love the uppermost seats. What kind of love did the Pharisees have for the uppermost seats? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, filial love, casual, friendly love, A or P. Number nine, John chapter 5 and verse 20, the Father loveth the Son. Then what kind of love would God the Father have, or does God the Father have, for Jesus the Son? Is it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, filial love, casual, friendly love, A or P? All right, part two, we go from 11 to 25, and this is how New Testament writers used the words agape, phileo. Those New Testament writers that we're going to check on are going to be Paul, Peter, and John, all more godly than your Greek professor and mine. Number 11, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, they were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Then what kind of lover of pleasure were they that they should have been that kind of a lover of God? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, filial love, casual, friendly love, A or P. Number 12, John chapter 11 and verse 5, Jesus loved Martha. You know Martha, Mary, their brother Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha. What kind of love did he have for Martha? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 13, John chapter 20 and verse 2, the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That other disciple is the apostle John. What kind of love did the Lord have for John? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Am I giving you guys enough time to spell A or P? I don't want to get ahead of you, you know. Number 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. The whole verse is, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. So what kind of love had you better have for the Lord so you don't end up cursed? Is it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Look at number 15, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of love did God commend toward us? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 24. My love be with you all. Paul, closing out the Corinthian letter, he sends his love to the writer, to the readers in Corinth. What kind of love did the Apostle Paul have for the Corinthians? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What spirit of love did he give us? Is it agape love or is it phileo love, A or P? Number 18, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, one to another with brotherly love. We should, guys, as saved people, we are brothers in Christ, right? Brothers and sisters, then we should have some semblance of love for each other. What kind of love should we have for each other? Should it be agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 19, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Again, talking about our brotherly love for each other. Abound in love one toward another. What kind of love should we have one toward another? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 20, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, that women to be sober to love their husbands. What kind of love should a wife have for her husband? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love. Number 21, or phileo love, casual, friendly love. No hint there. Number 21, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, reciprocal of the one before it. So ought men to love their wives. What kind of love should a man have for his wife? Should it be agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 22, 1 Peter 2, 17, love the brotherhood. No, I did not get this out of a mafia oath. Yeah. Love the brotherhood or we'll mess this up. Peter says we should love the brotherhood. What kind of love should we have for the brotherhood? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, filial love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 23, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Well, what is that brotherly love? Is it agape or is it phileo, A or P? Number 24, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, in him verily is the love of God perfected. What is the love of God? Is it agape love, deep and selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? And then finally, number 25, Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, the love of God our Savior. What kind of love does God our Savior have toward us? Is it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or is it phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Okay, now, remember when you were in, I'm trying to look for the answer. Remember when you were in school and used to trade papers to get them graded? Yes. Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because you're really going to enjoy grading this yourself. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. There it is. All right. Go back up to number one and we'll go through these. Now, I want you to know, you may say, you know what, Gip, as I go through this, I don't think you're telling us the truth. Then go to your Greek New Testament and check them out yourself. Because these are how they're found in the original Greek. All right, number one, this is how Jesus Christ, 1 through 10, how Jesus Christ used agape and phileo. Luke chapter 11, verse 42, the love of God. Then if God has love for us, what would it be? Agape or phileo? Agape. It is agape. If you have an A, you got to correct it. You got to correct. Number two, John chapter 5 and verse 42, the love of God. What kind of love would God have for us? Agape or phileo? It is agape. Now, if you're sitting there right now with two A's and going, I got this one. Do you know what a gimme is? You know, I recently told some of my students, you would not think this is a hard request. I have a blank on the top of my test and it says name. And I either get a first name or I get three initials. And I told them, I said, guys, I'm not going to give you points for getting your name spelled correctly. but I am going to take some away if I don't get both of your names, your first and last name. But a gimme is where they just kind of like how many states are there in the United States? 57. Just ask Obama. And so if you're sitting there with two A's right now and you're going, man, I got this thing. No, those are the gimmies. You may want to find an excuse to leave right now. That way you can say, well, I don't know how it turned out, but I had them all right up to the time I left. Okay, number three, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father and mother more than me. Then what kind of love did they have for their father and mother that they should have had that kind of love for Jesus Christ? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Yes, it's phileo. Number four, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9, to know that I have loved thee. Talking about a local church. What kind of love does the Lord have for the local church? Agape or phileo? Oh, it's already done. I'll tell you what happens. I get about halfway through this and I start getting this. Phileo. Agaloflo. I'm serious. People go, order that at a restaurant sometime. What kind of love do you have at a local church? And number four, agape. Number five, Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, talking about the Laodicean church, as many as I love. What kind of love does he have for the local church? Phileo. You say that can't be. Check the Greek. Number six, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 6. He's upbraiding the Pharisees and he said, you love the uppermost rooms. What kind of love did they have for the uppermost rooms? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Number seven, John chapter 12 and verse 25, he that loveth his life. What kind of love did they have for their life? Was it agape love, deep and selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love? A or P? Phileo. Number eight, this is the parallel to Matthew 23:6. It's Luke chapter 11, verse 43. You love the uppermost seats. What kind of love did the Pharisees have for the uppermost seats? Agape or phileo? Agape. So you see, they kind of had a casual, friendly love for the room, but the seats. Oh, I like this room. Oh, I love these seats. Number nine, John chapter 5 and verse 20. The Father loveth the Son. What kind of love does God the Father have for the Son? Agape or phileo? Phileo.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Greek is wrong. That rule is wrong. Isn't it bad when God doesn't know the proper usage of Greek?
Yeah.
That's why, these guys that correct the Bible all the time, I don't, even modern translators, I don't want to think that they're lost. I want them to be saved. Because I'm going to follow an NIV translator around heaven for about 1,000 years. And somewhere in there, I'm going to see him cross paths with the Lord or one of these guys. And I want to watch him correct them. That should be fun. Number 10, John chapter 16, verse 27. The Father himself loveth you. What kind of love does God have for you? Agape or phileo? Phileo. That ought to teach you to be so committed. Number 11, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Then what kind of lover of pleasure were they that they should have been that kind of a lover of God? Agape or phileo? Agape. If a lady lost a hairpin... Number 13, John chapter 20 and verse 2. Number 12, right? What did I just say for number 11? Okay, I read one wrong. That's phileo. Number 11 is phileo. Phileo. So if you thought you had one right. Okay. Number 12, John chapter, well now you know the answer. John chapter 11 verse 5, Jesus loved Martha with what kind of love? Agape love. Number 13, John chapter 20 and verse 2, the other disciple, the apostle John, whom Jesus loved. What kind of love did the Lord have for the apostle John? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Now think about this. Here's Martha, cumbered about much serving, and he had agape love for her. Here's John, who pillowed his head on the bosom of the Lord at the Last Supper. Hey, Jesus, what'd you think of John? Hey, all right. Yeah. Well, we did a little fishing together. Number 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. What kind of love had you better have for the Lord Jesus Christ? Agape or phileo? Phileo.
Oh, wow.
Well, wait a second. If this teaching that there are two different kinds of love is true, Peter had the right love. He had phileo love. He had the right love. Number 15, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Which kind of love did the Lord have commend toward us? It was agape. Number 16, 1 Corinthians 16:24, my love be with you all. That's Paul closing out the Corinthian letter. What kind of love did the apostle Paul have for the Corinthians? Agape love or phileo love? Agape. Now think about that. Look at number 14. He just told them, all you have to have is phileo love for the Lord. Two verses later, as he's closing the letter, it says, but I got more than that for you. If this rule is true, it's not true. Number 17, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hath not given us a spirit of power, of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What spirit of love did he give us? Agape or phileo? Agape. Except for Peter, he got the phileo spirit. Number 18, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, one to another with brotherly love. What kind of love do we have for, should we have for another? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Never liked you guys that much anyway. Number 19, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, abound in love one toward another. What kind of love should we have for another? Agape or phileo? It's agape. Now, what you ought to be doing right now, you ought to be looking at your test and going, something's wrong here. Yeah, either you really shouldn't use sharp things when you eat because you can't tell the difference, or that definition of agape and phileo is as phony as the last election. Number 20, Titus chapter 2, verse 4, women to be sober, to love their husbands. What kind of love should a woman have for her husband? Mindless, selfless. I'm sorry. Agape or phileo? Phileo.
Oh my goodness.
We call that a handshake instead of a kiss.
Yeah.
Number 21, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives. What kind of love should we have for our wives? Agape or phileo? Agape. This is when I knew there was something wrong with that stupid rule. I'm telling you. Number 22, 1 Peter 2:17. Love the brotherhood. Agape or phileo? When they ask you like that, it better be agape. Hey, what this phileo stuff you? 23, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. What is brotherly love? Agape or phileo? It is phileo. Number 24, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. In him verily is the love of God perfected. What kind of love is the love of God? Agape or phileo? It's agape. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, the love of God, our Savior. What kind of love is the love of God? Agape or phileo?
Agape.
Phileo.
Wow.
Now, guys, I don't believe anybody passed. I have one guy took this 6 times. Failed every time. Great man of God. Oh, hey, wait. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Did you ever have a test where they gave you like a bonus question? Look, I am going to let you guys do what Baptists love to do. No, not eat. Right after that, it's vote. We all think everybody needs to know our opinion on something. And so guys, don't, please don't be afraid of being wrong. I'm going to ask you guys to respond to a question here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. All right, now I want you to vote. The word love in that verse, which one is used? Do you think it's agape or phileo? How many of you say it's agape? Put your hand up. All right, how many of you say it's phileo? Put your hand up. Now, all you who are too scared to vote, you're the only ones who got it wrong. Because it's agape and phileo to describe the very same kind of love. As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you that for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Same kind of love. And God used both words to describe the same kind of love. Oh, let's try another freebie. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 2. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth among the truth through the spirit of of unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. All right. Again, obviously the same love. How many of you, again, don't be afraid to vote. How many of you say that is obviously agape love? If there's a difference. Okay. How many say that's obviously phileo love? The rest of you are scared to death. It's both. So under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter here and the Apostle Paul back in Thessalonians botched the definition of agape or phileo unless there's no difference. And guys, there's no difference. So how do you know? Because you just proved it. Now, if you don't accept my teaching on this, I just found out some time ago, there's a guy named Gerhard Kittle. No, he did not make potato chips. Gerhard Kittle is a non-King James Bible scholar, born in 1888, died in 1948. He said about this, I didn't find this out until I was doing this for years, but he said the teaching that agape is one kind of love and phileo is another can only be taught from John chapter 21 because it's not found anywhere else in Scripture. And he said it's not really a Greek rule. So if you say, well, Gip, I don't take your authority. Well, then you don't believe the King James Bible probably. So you'd think Kittle is great. And that's what you get. Now, there should be some questions in your mind. Your question should be this. If there's no difference between agape and phileo, why did Jesus Christ use two different words for the same word? The answer is in Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16. The Lord is kind of, getting on his disciples about the feeding of the 5,000. He says this in verse 9. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? Hey guys, guess what? The word for baskets in verse 9 is the Greek word kophinous. The Greek word for baskets in verse 10 is spyridos. Now, the reason I wrote them up here is because sometimes you can have the same stem and they'll still look a little different, but you can obviously see. If you don't know Greek and if you don't say in your brain like I do, you can still see these are not the same word. Correct? And yet the Lord just said in verse 9, kophinous baskets, and in verse 10, spyridos baskets. Now, do you know why he used two different Greek words there? Kophinous. These are deep, intimate, selfless baskets. Spyridos. Those are casual, friendly baskets. You know why he used two different Greek words? Because he wanted to. I mean, it's kind of a perk with being God. When you invent language, you can use it any way you want. Would anybody like to rebuke him and tell him he was wrong? Because I want to be there when you do it. And I want to be about 60 feet off. I want to be outside the flash zone. Okay? I want to be at the edge of the burnt spot where you used to stand. So he used two different Greek words for baskets. It didn't mean a thing to him. The second thing is this. Okay, if there's no difference between agape and phileo, where did this teaching come from? Well, I don't know, but I suspect this. I told you, a number of years ago, I did a debate on national television with some of the people with modern translating. And the head of the New King James Translation Committee, a guy by the name of Dr. Art Farstead, who is his, I believe he was saved. I believe he loved the Lord, and he is with the Lord now. But he said this, he said, now mind you, this is the head of the New King James Bible Translation Committee. Don't you think if you translated a Bible, it'd be worth using? And he said on national TV, I do my personal devotions from the Latin. Well, that's pretty good. So I said, yeah, I just cooked this stuff. I never eat it. You eat it. And so where did this teaching come from? I'm going to tell you where I think it came from. I think it came from somebody who was looking for a nugget in the Greek and they found agape, phileo, 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 and said, oh, there must be a difference. And to me, when I see that guy, you know what I see? I see this guy bending over. I don't know if you know this, but oh man, about 30 years ago, I became a gold prospector. Well, that's another word for evangelist. But no, it was in California, and I went down 1,500 feet in this ravine, me and two other guys, and we panned for gold, and I found gold. I really did. It was the size of the head of a pin. As I saw that piece of gold, I said, I am definitely called to preach. But it's this guy picking up this little piece of gold going, look, I found a nugget in the Greek, and behind him is a mine that says King James Bible, and it's glistening gold wall ceiling all the way into infinity. I think the guy was looking for the wrong place. It's like this, guys. I finish here, and then we get on 75 north, and we go to Cincinnati, and I have a meeting later. I finish up this week because 75 is what I need to drive to Cincinnati, correct? Whoa. I'm getting on 75 north, and I'm going to Cincinnati when I leave here. Are you guys telling me that I don't take 75? So what's the problem? Oh, you're saying I'm on the right road going the wrong direction. Yeah, that's what happens when you look at the Greek. You go to the right book, but you're going the wrong direction. There should be another thing that would get your attention if you had the in your blade. In verse 15, he finishes verse 15 with this. Feed my lambs. 16, feed my sheep. 17, feed my sheep. Now, he didn't even say lambs or sheep. He didn't say lambs three times or sheep three times. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And in 15, the Greek word he used for feed is boske. In verse 17 or 16, when he said, feed my sheep, the Greek word is poimenos. Or poimena. And in verse 17, he went back to boske. He used two different Greek words for feed. What do you think? One of them is a deep, intimate, selfless feed. But I did mislead you. I'm going to tell you now, I did mislead you. I did not intentionally mislead you. I told you that I was going to teach those three verses as I heard it taught. And when I heard it taught, the guy read the three verses, said agape phileo, agape phileo, agape phileo, but he said this. And Peter, in verse 17, was grieved because the Lord changed from agape to phileo. Let's look at what he was grieved about in verse 17. If you got a final authority. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he changed from agape to phileo. No, he was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Okay, somebody tell me. Jesus said this, agape. Jesus said this, agape. Jesus said this, phileo. How many times did he say phileo? Scared to death, aren't you? One. How many times did he say agape? Two. He didn't say anything three times. He didn't use the same Greek word for feed. He didn't use the same Greek word for the animal. He didn't use the same Greek word for love. The only thing he said three times is love. So your Bible, you didn't even need what I gave you. Your Bible let you know Peter was grieved because he asked him three times. I mean, come on. If somebody said, you love me? Yeah. Your wife. You love me? Yeah. You love me? Yeah. You love me? Yeah. Wallet? All right. Now the answer to the the big question. If Jesus Christ were on this earth. Oh, wait. Let me tell you this. I can tell you this. A number of years ago, I was preaching in a large metropolitan area. A friend of mine, he was a graduate of a college, Bible college that thought you could go to the Greek and find a nugget. And the guy's got a photographic memory. I mean, he had huge, huge portions of scripture committed to memory. He was wonderful. I have a photographic memory. It just never developed. I'm still working on Jesus Cried, but but about every other word in his sermon, this King James guy, but every other word, it was Greek word here, Greek word there. So afterwards, he and I and a Cuban pastor friend of mine who loves the King James Bible and believes the King James Bible went to a restaurant because we're Baptist preachers. So I'm sitting in this booth. Right there's my Cuban pastor friend. Here is my evangelist friend who corrects the Bible. And this Cuban says, "Brother, why do you correct the Bible with Greek?" And he goes, "Well, I'm not correcting it. I'm enhancing it." And I like, you know, enhancing. That's kind of, I think Lester Orlo said, that's like putting whipped cream on an onion. Let me ask you, enhancing. How do you make round rounder? How do you make flat flatter? How do you make straight straighter? If Jesus, if God himself were on a pogo stick at the back of the sanctuary with a bag over his head at night with the lights out, and we said, "Lord, as you go by the board, draw a straight line on the pogo stick." Now, that's not a straight line. That's the best I can do. But I'll guarantee you something. If he was going to draw a straight line, you couldn't improve it. How do you improve on this? How do you make round rounder? Anyway, so I asked my preacher friend. I said, "Okay." I said, "Look here." I said, "I have a Bible in this hand and a Greek grammar book in this hand." Now, I didn't tell him about agape and phileo. I said, "The Greek grammar book has a Greek rule. You know which one it is, agape and phileo. And the Bible violates the Greek grammar book. Which one's wrong?" And he said, "I don't understand the question." I said, "I have a Bible in this hand, Greek grammar book in this hand. Greek grammar book has a rule. Bible violates it. Which one's right?" "I don't understand the question." "I have." I asked him a third time. "I don't understand the question." So I figured, okay, maybe he doesn't like the hands. I'll put the Bible in my right. I really did. I said, "I'll put the Bible in my right hand. I got a Greek grammar book in my left hand. Greek grammar book has a rule. Bible violates that rule. Which one's right?" 4 times in a row, "I don't understand the question." Now, here's what he didn't see. What he didn't see is sitting right next to him is my Cuban pastor friend. He's got a knife here. He's got a fork here. And he is beet red. And when this guy dodged it the 4th time, he didn't even look over at him. He goes, "It's not hard to question, brother." And the guy goes, "The Bible." Then this guy who knew the Greek so well, I gave him the test you just took, and he failed it. Say, why? "Because it's not a legitimate Greek rule." "But I heard it." "So what?" Now, this is the answer to the question. If Jesus, I'm going to let you vote. If Jesus were on this earth right now and he spoke English, would he say ain't? How many of you say if Jesus were on the earth right now and he spoke English, he would indeed say ain't? Let me see your hands. How many of you say if Jesus were on this earth and he spoke English, he would not say ain't? You know what the answer is? I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I can't know. Oh, but let me tell you this. If I had an English grammar book in this hand, and it had an English grammar rule, and Jesus Christ violated it, I mean, if I showed Jesus Christ from an English grammar book, hey, Lord, look, ain't isn't good English. He'll go, "Ain't that something?" I don't know if he'd say ain't or not. I only know this. If he said it, it would be good grammar no matter what the English grammar book says. You know why? Because an English grammar book or a Greek grammar book or a godly Greek professor or a teacher that has a preacher that goes to the Greek is not my final authority. And your final authority showed you there is nothing to. I'm telling you, it's a bologna sandwich without the bread. There's nothing to this teaching of agape and phileo. You say, "I've heard it for years." Well, now you got it straightened up. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll take a break. Father, we thank you for this book. There is absolutely nothing wrong with this book. It is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. It's not a teacher. It's not a preacher. It's not somebody that led us to Christ. It's not our knowledge of the original languages, Father. It is your English Bible sitting on the pulpit right here. Bless these people, Father, and secure their faith in your book. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.